Okay, good morning. So this week is Shavasa Bar Talmud, so I thought that this class we'd try to understand a little bit about, you know, the what exactly happened on Shavasa Bar Talmud, what exactly are we commemorating, what are we mourning, what are we meant to think about, and what are we meant to learn from this event. So I'd like to look into the unique personality of Shavasa Bar Talmud and the events that occurred on it. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us, "B'yud Zayin B'Talmud Nishtabru Haluchos Ubotel HaTamid V'Huvka'a Ha'ir V'Saraf Apostamos Es HaTorah V'Omad Selam Behechel." So basically, the Mishnah tells us that there's five things that happened on Shavasa Bar Talmud. The first is that the Luchos were broken. The second is that the Korban Talmud stopped. The third is that the walls of Yerushalayim were broken. The fourth is that Apostamas burnt the Torah. And the fifth is that he erected a statue, a tselem, in the Heichal. So the fact that, obviously, that these five events occurred on this day shows that Shavasa Bar Talmud is a day of misfortune, is a day of Paranias. And I'd like to try to understand the deeper meaning behind these events, the significance of these events, and how they lead up to Tisha B'Av. We know that Shavasa Bar Talmud starts the period of the 3 weeks, 3 weeks of mourning, in which we end on Tisha B'Av with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and many other tragedies that have happened throughout the generations. So the first event is the event of the breaking of the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu went up after Matan Torah. He went up to receive the Luchos, and Bnei Yisrael saw that he was delayed, and they looked to find some sort of intermediary instead of Moshe. And to make a long story short, the end result was the Cheda Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he sees them dancing with this golden calf, and he throws the Luchos, drops the Luchos because they're too heavy, etc., and he breaks the Luchos. And while the breaking of the Luchos obviously was a sad and a terrible event, really, if you think about it, what was it? It was just a result of the sin. It was a result of the terrible sin of Cheda Egel, the golden calf. Moshe descended the mountain. He saw Bnei Yisrael had sunken into such a terrible level to do this, to worship this Avodah Zarah. And therefore, he destroyed the Luchos, to which Hashem says to him, Yashar Koyach Moshe. Moshe, what you did was correct. But when you when we try to categorize the gravity of this event, wouldn't it be more appropriate to categorize the severity by the cause, by the chet, and not the result, right? We should fast on Tet Zion Tamas, when the Cheda Egel started. That was the real tragedy here. The fact that Bnei Yisrael were worshipping this golden calf, the fact that they didn't wait for Moshe, and that they looked for this other means, not the fact that Moshe broke the Luchos. You know, and that's when we should start this terrible time of Bein HaMetzarim. And according to the opinion that what the Cheid Egel happened on Shavasa Bar Talmud, on Yud Zayin Talmud, then why isn't that event listed in the five tragic things that happened on Shavasa Bar Talmud? Additionally, Hashem commanded Moshe after this to write a second set of Luchos. It didn't just end there, the Luchos were broken and that's it, there's nothing to be done. But there was a second set of Luchos that were written. So therefore we see that the breaking of the Luchos had some sort of tikkun, some sort of correction, some sort of substitution through this second set of Luchos. If so, why is it important to establish a day of fasting on the day that the Luchos were broken if there was some sort of rectification, there was a moving on from there? And why does the event, obviously, of the breaking of the Luchos kick off this period of the Bein HaMetzarim, of these 3 weeks? The second event that occurred is that the Korban Tamid stopped. So why is it that the Korban Tamid specifically mentioned? You know, when the Korban Tamid stopped, did all the other Korbanos not stop as well? You know, the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash included so many Karbanos and so many different Avodos, so many different things and details that were taken care of. So why was the Korban Tamid specifically mentioned? What was so significant, what was so important about that stopping? And if you say that the Beis HaMikdash was still up and running and only the Korban Tamid stopped, so what is it that specifically about the Korban Tamid that it adds to the essence of Shavasa Bar Talmud? Meaning, if we're going to say that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't running, so then then everything else stopped. All the other avodos, all the other karbanos. And if you say no, the Beis HaMikdash was really up and running, just the korban talmid stopped. So what does that add to the essence and the unique personality of Shavasar B'Talmud? Then we come to the third event, which also needs clarification. The korban talmid was a korban that was brought twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon.
And it was just not accepted.
No, it wasn't brought anymore. It stopped. They stopped bringing the korban talmid on Shavasar B'Talmud. Okay, and the third thing. When we come to the third event, it also needs clarification. The breaking of the walls, right? So why is this important? Especially at a time when the city of Yerushalayim was not yet captured. You know, does the breaking of the wall symbolize the tragedy of the destruction? We still had the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't burnt yet. Yes, you know, it was a stage they were coming in. But yet, what is the importance of it? Especially since the city of Yerushalayim was not yet captured at that time. And I think, you know, as we delve into these ideas, we'll come to the last two events, namely the burning of the Torah by Apostamas and the erecting of the Tselem in the Heichal, putting the statue in the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash tells us that when Titus came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, a heavenly voice called out and said, "You have burnt a house that was already burnt." Meaning, since the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed spiritually, by obviously things that Bnei Yisrael had done, Titus just burned a lifeless physical shell. It was our actions or our inactions that actually caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Titus came and just knocked down the physical walls, the physical structure, but the Beis HaMikdash, which was a spiritual structure, which was a spiritual house, had already been destroyed by Bnei Yisrael's actions or our inactions. And similarly, it was our actions and our inactions that caused the events of Shavasar B'Talmud to occur. The events of Shavasar B'Talmud are a response to our misdeeds. Hashem specifically chose these things and events which highlight our misdeeds. It highlights where we went wrong and what we did not do properly. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael in Perek Chafav writes that the breaking of the Luchos and the stopping of the Korban Talmid and the breaking of the wall symbolize a change in Hashem's Hanhaga towards us, Hashem's interaction with us. And he writes, "Shenehepach lahem yad yamin liyad smol," that the change in interaction with us of Hashem is that he changed from using his right hand to interacting with us with his left hand. Which, you know, we'll try to understand a little bit, but it was a change of Hashem's hanhaga towards us as a result of our actions towards him. Now, in halacha, we have a concept of shomrim. Shomrim is, what does it mean? If someone is watching someone else's property, right? I'm in charge of watching my neighbor's property, and damage occurs to the property under my watch. As long as the owner was with him, meaning if I'm watching the property with the owner, the person is pater, he's exempt. Even if the watcher was negligent, as long as he was with the owner, he's pater. He's not obligated in the damage that occurred to the property. We have this concept that says, Bail of Emil, Pshia, Babailim, Pater. The same concept translates into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the owner of the world, namely Hashem. If we sin, as long as He is with us and we are connected to Him, we're patur, we have the ability to do what? To do teshuvah, to come close. Hashem is compassionate and He is merciful, and He is the same Hashem before and after the sin. But the reality of being able to stick to Hashem even after the sin is conditioned on one thing, and one thing alone, and that is Torah. It's only through the Koach HaTorah, the power of the Torah, that allows the sinner to remain as Baal of Imo, as if he is with the owner, as if he is with Hashem. It is specifically the Torah which gives us this relationship of Hashem being right next to us, and therefore, even if we mess up, even if we're negligent, we still have that ability to connect to Him. As we know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Oraisa v'Yisrael Chadhu, that Hashem, The Torah and Bnei Yisrael are all considered one entity. The Torah is that which connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It gives us the ability to cleave to Him even after a sin. The Torah connects us to Hashem in such a way that cannot be disconnected. While an Aveira may extinguish a mitzvah, it doesn't extinguish the Torah. It is the light of the Torah which prevents and illuminates darkness. The Gemara in Brachos Dafchet Amvet tells us, "He zaharu bizaken sheshachach talmudo." Be wary of an elderly person, a zaken, who forgot his Torah. Why? Sheluchos v'shivrei luchos munachim ba'aron. Because why? There are two things that are placed in the aron. We have the luchos, and we have the shivrei luchos, the broken luchos. So we see from here that the broken luchos symbolize the shichachas ha-Torah, the forgetting of the Torah. Up until the luchos were broken, Bnei Yisrael still had the ability to bridge the gap they created between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of Chet HaEgel. The breaking of the luchos symbolized the depth of the tragedy. As once the luchos were broken, there was nothing to connect Bnei Yisrael to Hashem. It was a change in Hashem's approach towards us, from a constant connection through Torah Hashem to a broken one. Meaning, before we broke the luchos, before we had this constant connection, this constant relationship through what? Through the Torah. Because what does the broken luchos symbolize? The forgetting of the Torah. The break in the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we go from a hanhaga, an interaction of Yad Yamin, a right-handed approach, a close approach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, as the Pasuk in Devarim Lamed Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk says, Mimino Eish Das Lamo, and its right hand was a fiery law unto them. Namely, what is this right hand which is a fiery law? It is the Torah. What is this hanhaga of Yad Yamin? It is an approach, it is an interaction of closeness through what? Through the Torah. And now we go to an interaction of distance and disconnection as symbolized by the weaker hand, by the left hand. And even though, yes, we were given some sort of tikkun, some sort of rectification, some sort of substitution through this second set of luchos, Bnei Yisrael were no longer on a high level as they were with the first luchos, and therefore they lost this high lofty status, and they now have to toil, they have to work, they have to struggle to obtain the Torah, specifically now through the Torah Shval Peh, through the oral tradition. It was no longer as clear and as easy, it was a break, and therefore now they have to struggle. And while yes, they did have some sort of rectification, some sort of substitution, the second set of luchos did not bring them back to that level that they had before Chet HaEgel. And so therefore, because we abandoned the Torah, Hashem therefore broke the luchos. Then we come to the second event that happened on Shavasar B'Talmud, the stopping of the Korban Tamid. The Tamid is not like the other Korbanos. It is a Korban that is brought with continuity. It is kavua. It is set. The Torah in Parshas Pinchas says, Pinchas Chafchet, Perek Chafchet, Pasuk Gimel, Va'amartim Lahem, Zah Isha Asher Takrivu LaHashem. This is the korban that you should bring to Hashem. Kvasim b'nei shanat mimim, Shnayim layom, twice a day, Ola tamid. The obvious question that many of the Mefarshim grapple with is, why is there a repetition in the Pasuk? It tells us to bring the korban, right? Va'amartim Lahem, Zah Isha Asher Takrivu LaHashem. And then again at the end of the Pasuk it says, Ola tamid, that you should bring it again. So what is the Pasuk trying to tell us in this repetition? The Pasuk is trying to tell us that there are two different points, two different nekudos in the Korban HaTamid. There's the first concept of one, you need to bring the Korban HaTamid, and then there's the second concept that there's a connection between the two Korbanos. That it's not just you have one carbon in the morning and a second carbon in the afternoon, but there is a connection between these two carbonos. There is a new kiyum. There is a special mitzvah in what? Bringing both of these carbonos. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, encapsulating the day. And there is a fulfillment of having the day surrounded by the Tamid in the morning and in the afternoon. This is the reason why the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Lamates, counts the mitzvah of Korban Tamid, both sacrifices, as one mitzvah. The Ramban asks on the Rambam. He says, anytime one mitzvah is not ma'akev, it's not dependent on another mitzvah, they are counted as two separate mitzvos, not one mitzvah. So why here, when it comes to the Korban Tamid, does the Rambam count the mitzvah as one mitzvah and not two separate commandments? This is the exact same debate that comes into play over saying the morning and the nighttime Shema. The Rambam says that since they are grouped together, there is a chovas hayom to bring the two together and to create a greater kiyum. Similarly, by Kriyashma, basically that they're grouped together, and not only do we have the mitzvah of Korban in the morning and in the afternoon, but there's a greater fulfillment of having the two in one day. We have the same concept that exists by Kriyashma. Even though we're Makayim the mitzvah separately, one time in the morning by saying Kriyashma, and one time in the night by saying Kriyashma, there is a separate fulfillment of having a day that is filled with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, with accepting Hashem's kingship over us by having it twice during the day. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why we bring the Talmud in the morning and in the night is to show that what? We are focusing on Hashem throughout the day. It is Talmud. It is constant. It is consistent. And he writes, L'ma'an isawer mitocha ma'isa zev and asim ko... That what's the purpose of bringing this Korban Tamid? It is to make us focus and channel our thoughts to cleave with Hashem throughout the day. Just like Kriya Shema fills our day with Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, it's not just a Shema in the morning and a Shema in the afternoon, but it is a day filled with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. It is filled with accepting Hashem's kingship upon us. So too, by having the Korban Tamid in the morning and in the afternoon, we are encapsulating our whole day with devotion and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find a similar idea in the Gemara in Menachos, Tzadi Ted Amad Bet, which states that if a person learns a Perek Mishnayos in the morning and in the evening, it's a fulfillment of Lo Yamush HaSefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha, that the words of Torah should not leave our mouths. Because why? By doing something in the morning and then again doing the same thing in the evening, we are showing that it's permeating our entire day. So while we have Kriya Shema in the morning and the afternoon, and there are two different events, it shows something greater of encapsulating our day with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And similarly with the Korban Tamid, while we have the Tamid in the morning and the afternoon, by having it in both places, it's showing that we're encapsulating our whole day with focus and devotion on Hashem. There is tzmidius, there is consistency, there is devotion. It's not just two separate acts, but there's a greater... We're fulfilling something even greater than these two different karbanos by having a day of the Tamid. And the way in which we show our focus and devotion to Hashem is precisely through the Torah. That is that which connects us to Him. That is the Torah. The Netziv in Bamidbar explains that the Korban Tamid in the morning was actually was offered as a prayer that Bnei Yisrael should excel in their Torah study of Torah Shebichtav, of the written Torah, and that the Korban Tamid in the afternoon was actually a tefillah, a prayer that Bnei Yisrael should succeed in their Torah study of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Our Avodas Hashem, our Torah, it lacked this tzmidius, it lacked this consistency, it lacked this focus and this focal point, and therefore the Korban Tamid was stopped. We come to the next event, the breaking of the walls. In halachic terms, a walled city has a certain level of kedusha, a certain level of sanctity that a walled city has, that a city that does not have walls does not have. For example, one can eat kachim kalim, a certain type of a korban, in a walled city like Yerushalayim. Also, a Metzora, someone who has leprosy, is sent out of a walled city. He cannot be within the walled city. And the Gemara, the Tosfos in Ksubas Memhei Amud Bet says that even though a walled city has Kedusha, that a Metzora must be sent out, once Rove of the city, once the majority of the city becomes Ovdei Kochavim, they become idolaters, they worship Avodah Zarah, it is like there are no more walls. And therefore what happens? The Kedusha, the special sanctity of the city, is gone. And the Halacha does not apply anymore. Meaning the Metzora no longer has to be sent out of the walled city, because what? There's no more Kedusha. Even though there might be physical walls there, the walls which represent the Kedusha are no longer there. And so therefore we, Bnei Yisrael, we were Poreitz Geder. We acted in a way that lacked Kedusha. We broke forth these boundaries, these walls, which established a level of sanctity and Kedusha. We knocked down our personal walls, and therefore what happened? What was the consequence? What was the reaction to this? The walls of the city of Yerushalayim, which show a level of Kedusha, sanctity, and holiness in the city, were also taken down. The breaking down of the walls were much more than a tearing down of physical walls. It was a break in our Kedusha, our holiness, which separates us and which sanctifies us. It was a lack of Torah, of kfiyas, of focusing on Hashem, of consistency, and of this Kedusha, this holiness, and this sanctity, which brought about these events. Namely, the breaking of the Luchos, the stopping of the Korban Tamid, and the breaking of the walls, and allowed for the other events to occur. The Torah to be burned, and the tzel and the idol to be put in the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash. These actions, inactions, not only allowed and caused the events of Shavasar Bar Tammuz to occur, but they kick off the 3 weeks, ultimately culminating and leading to what? The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Nedarim Pei Aleph asks, "Ma'i tichtiv, mi ha'ish chacham v'yavin es zos?" V'asher diber pi Hashem elav, v'yagita alma avda ha'aretz. He asks, alma avda ha'aretz. Why was the land lost? Meaning, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was there a Chorban? Adavar ze nish'al l'chachamim, v'l'neviyim, v'l'malchei ha'shareis. This question was asked to the chachamim, to the wise men, to the neviyim, to the prophets, and to the malachim, to the angels. V'lo perishuhu, but they were not able to answer. They were not able to explain. Ad shepirisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atmo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he answered this question himself. Shenemar vayomer Hashem, that Hashem said, Al azvam es torasi, asher nasasi lefnehem, v'lo shamu b'koli, v'lo achuba. What was the reason that the land was lost? What was the reason that there was a Chorban HaMikdash? We left the Torah. We didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. Lo hachuba, hainu v'lo shamu b'kol, hainu v'lo hachuba. Amar Rav, what does it mean? Shelo hachuba, they didn't walk in its ways. Shelo barchu b'torah tzchila. Meaning, there's a few ways to understand this. They didn't barchu b'torah tzchila. They didn't bless the Torah first. They didn't make the Torah first. We'll explain it in different ways. But what does it mean? That Torah was not techila. It was not first and foremost. And while yes, maybe they were learning, and the Torah, they were learning it, they were studying it, etc. The Torah wasn't used as a way to connect with Hashem, a way to cleave to Him and to become close to Him. It wasn't techila. It wasn't first and foremost. It wasn't used in the proper way. Yirmiyahu actually goes through the different groups of people that neglected Hashem. And he says, Kohanim lo amru ayei Hashem. The Kohanim didn't say, where is Hashem? Nevi'im nevu ba'al. The Nevi'im, they prophesied for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah. And then he says another group of people. He says, Tov se ha-Torah lo yaduni. Those who grasp the Torah, they didn't know me. Which, when we think about it, it's hard to understand. What does it mean? How can people who are grasping, who are holding onto the Torah, who are learning, not know Hashem? Because why? Yes, maybe they were learning Torah, but they didn't connect through the learning. They didn't use the learning as a tool to become close to Hashem. Perhaps the Torah was intellectually stimulating, Or maybe it was challenging and they enjoyed learning it, but they were learning it that they, like they would learn something else. Perhaps science, perhaps social studies, perhaps a foreign art or language. But they weren't taking the Torah to the next level. They weren't coming to the level of what it's supposed to be, of yidu'uni, to know me, to connect to me, to cleave to me, to make that stronger connection and that dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And successful Torah learning can only create a connection and a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's done constantly and becomes the focal point and the essence of our day. And this too is expressed in Hashem's answer of Shelo Baruch Hu BaTorah Tchila, that Torah wasn't Tchila. And in this way we understand, what does it mean Shelo Baruch Hu BaTorah Tchila? Literally, they did not bless Baruch Hu BaTorah, the Torah first. Meaning what? They didn't say the Birkas HaTorah. Now when we go and we want to learn every morning, we open our siddur and we say the Birkas HaTorah. So what does it mean that they didn't bless the Torah first? You're telling me that they went and they learned every day, but yet they didn't take the 20 seconds, I don't know, maybe a minute if you have extreme kavanah, to say the Birkas HaTorah? How can we understand that? And maybe they were actually saying all the Birkas HaShachar, but they said, wait a second, we don't want to say these few brachas. Let me cut them out. I'm going to make an edited version of the Birkas HaShachar. Does it make sense? What does it mean, Shelo Baruch Hu BaTorah Tchila? So there's something that we've actually spoken about a little bit in this year before. You know, it's very interesting. When we go into a sukkah, right? And I want to, you know, eat in the sukkah, I have to say a bracha. And then what happens? Let's say I go on a Chol HaMoed teal with my family. I go out the whole day and I come back at night and I'm going to have dinner in the sukkah. And I'm required to make a new bracha, right? But when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, the blessings on the Torah, I wake up in the morning, I say my Birkas HaTorah, maybe I go to a shir, a daf yomi, etc. I listen to a shir in the car on the way to work. Then I leave, I'm involved in my work the whole day, or maybe I'm running errands, or I'm doing things, but things that are certainly not categorized as listening to a shir, or learning chumash, or gemara, etc. And then I come back later in the day, maybe I want to listen to a shir on the way home from work, I want to go to a shir at night, I'm going to go to daf yomi, etc. And yet what happens? I'm not required to make another bracha. Whereas in the case of with the sukkah, I am required to make another bracha. But when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, I'm not required. So what is the reason? There's a concept of hesech hadas, a break in concentration. Meaning, when I'm in the sukkah and I say the bracha, I'm concentrating, I have my food, etc. But then I go along my merry way, I'm involved in my Chol HaMoed activities, and I'm not thinking necessarily about my sukkah. When I come back, I'm entering once again into my sukkah, and therefore, because I had a break in concentration, I need to recite a new bracha. When it comes to learning Torah, there's no break in concentration, or rather, there should not be a break in concentration, because yes, while I may not be actually learning Chumash and Rashi, Gemara, listening to a shir, I may be involved in my business, or anything else I'm doing, but when I am involved in the business or my other daily activities and I don't allow those activities to leave the confines of Torah and Halakha, meaning when I am involved in my business, I deal with my business honestly. When I speak to my friend, I speak in an appropriate way. I don't speak Lashon Hara. You know, I do chesed, I do tzedakah, I ride the bus and I get up for an elderly person, etc. There are so many ways that therefore these physical activities all follow and fit into the framework of Torah. And so therefore there's no hesach hadas. There's no break in concentration. Because while I might not be learning, you know, from a sefer or listening to a shir, all of my activities fit into the framework of Torah. And therefore I am not required to make a new bracha because there's no hesach hadas, there's no break in concentration. However, if I'm going around my daily life and I say, oh, I was, you know, I had my piece of Judaism and my Torah in the shul, And now I'm in the work world, and I'm gonna divorce the two. They don't connect, they're not related. Torah doesn't fit into my business. I'm going to act a certain way when I'm in my business and when I'm in shul. So then there's a hesach hadas. And then a person would be required to make a new bracha. And that's exactly what happened at this point. While yes, maybe they were learning Torah, there was a hesach hadas. There was a break in concentration. It didn't carry over. There was learning in the morning, saying the Berakas HaTorah. Yes, the people of the generation did say the Berakas HaTorah. But when they came back at night, they would have been required to say a new bracha because there was a break. There was a hesach hadas because there was no tamidius. There was no consistency. The Torah didn't trickle into their lives. Torah was for the shul. Torah was for the Beis Medrash. But it didn't affect and connect to my day-to-day life. When I interact with my friends, when I'm doing my business, when I'm doing my errands, and when anything else that's outside the realm of the Beis Medrash or the shul. And so therefore, a new bracha was required, and therefore they were punished shelo barchu b'Torah tzchila because of this break in concentration, because the Torah wasn't consistent in their life. It wasn't the focal point of their day. It didn't translate into all areas of their life. Additionally, successful Torah learning not only needs to translate into Yidu'uni, into a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it not only needs to trickle into our lives and every aspect of our day-to-day interaction as a focal point with Tzimidius, but successful Torah learning requires the proper atmosphere, the appropriate sanctity and Kedusha. We know that Torah can't be learned anywhere, right? There are certain guidelines. You can't say a Dvar Torah in the bathroom. You know, you can't, nor can you speak words of Torah in front of Erva, in front of parts of the body that are supposed to be covered. We know that there are special places that we create appropriate atmospheres to learn Torah. We have Batei Midrasho, we have shuls, etc. Because Torah has to be in the proper framework, in the proper atmosphere, in the proper environment. And so therefore, it was a lack. It was our lack. It was our inaction in the Torah, which resulted in the events of Shavasar Batamas and ultimately culminated with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We lacked the Chashiva HaTorah, you know, making sure that Torah is important. We didn't use it and the learning to create the relationship with Hashem. We didn't come to a level of Yidu'uni. Yes, we were Tofsei HaTorah, we grasped it, we were involved in it, but didn't bring us to that level. And so therefore, what happened? The Luchos were broken. Our learning, our Torah, was not the focal point in our day. It lacked Tamidius. It lacked consistency. It didn't translate into all of our actions. And so therefore, what? The Karban Tamid stopped. And there was not only that, but there was a lack in Kedusha and proper Gedarim, proper fences and a framework for in our Yiddishkeit and in our lives. And so therefore, what happened? The walls of Yerushalayim were broken. These five occurrences reflect imperfections and lackings which triggered the occurrences of Shavasar Batamas. And it's easy to understand how with these three things, it was easy to burn a Torah because the Torah wasn't fulfilling what it was supposed to. It was easy to put in Avodah Zarah in the Heichal because, again, Hashem wasn't a focal point. We were thinking about other things. God was only for the Beis Medrash and for the shul. He wasn't in our lives. And so therefore, all of it, these three major lackings allowed for all these other things to occur. But they were really just reflections in us, in our inabilities, in our lackings. And so therefore, these were the responses. And so on Shavasar Batamas, as we start mourning the three weeks of mourning over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and over the other grave tragedies that occurred throughout the generations, we take a day and we stop and reflect on the causes, the seemingly smaller things, which ultimately result in the large-scale tragedy and destruction. It is only by thinking about and focusing on Shavasar Batamas and the cause of the decline that we can rectify the problem, reconnecting to Hashem through the Torah, making it a focal point in our lives, and creating the proper atmosphere and Kedusha that we can turn this year, Tisha B'Av, into a yontif.